And so we've been on this series, Awakened, and today we are just closing. I only have 30 minutes because today we had to anoint the children. But I want you this afternoon just to go with me. Last week, the first week, we looked at God igniting fresh fire for the city. Someone say fresh fire. If you were there in that service, we spoke about the fact that God is igniting a fresh fire. And this fresh fire needs us to be people that will be ordered. Remember that scripture we read, that steps of a righteous man are ordered. But we said your steps can't be ordered if you are not surrendered. Your steps can't be ordered if you are not surrendered. Because the fire is looking for you. It's not the other way around. The fire is looking for you to be surrendered. Once you are surrendered, it ignites. And then on the second Sunday, we looked at rebuilding the altar. We spoke about that your altar needs to be strong. It needs to be prepared. We said it's very important that in these days as a child of God, you must have an altar. Your prayer life must not depend on the pastor. It must depend on your altar. We distanced ourselves from physical altars only. We said that your lifestyle must resemble your praying. Said that you need to be strong. And then last week, we went into the depth of worship. Because last week we spoke about the fact that worship is not music, but music expresses worship. We went as far as saying that when you worship, basically you are walking in obedience. You are walking in honor. We said worship is honoring God. We said that God, the presence of God will show up where He is honored. We even made an example that how many songs do we sing and we claim to be singing to God, but He doesn't show up. And we said the moment Paul and Silas did it, the chains could not stand it. Because what they were doing wasn't singing. What they were doing was worship. And so we said, as a child of God, you must go into the depth of understanding what worship is. We even quoted in the book of John chapter 4. And we looked at the fact that the verse says that they that worship must do it in spirit and in truth. And we said that to show that worship is honor unto God. When you worship, you must be led by the Spirit. And we said the Spirit leads you when you are submitted. We also went as far as saying it's a problem and it's problematic when you are a Christian. Every time you are singing and claiming to worship, for you it's always jumping around. There's no time when you are worshiping and God comes, shows up to rebuke you. We said you must check your worship. It's probably music, it's not worship. And we said the reason why we say that it's when God manifests, sometimes He manifests to correct us. And when we said we are looking in this generation for people who shall worship, we said even in this church we are looking at the issue of music and worship. I won't go into depth with that. We are still looking at the issue of music and worship. There's something we need to sort because we don't want to get lost in the music and miss the worship. Can I get an amen in this church? But I need you to understand that awakening does not end when you have an encounter with God. Because on this series, Awakening, we are speaking about revival and being awakened to the power, the work of God, the experience, the manifest presence. But we are saying this morning, it's very important for us to understand that when you encounter God, it must lead you to an assignment. Turn to your neighbor, say an assignment. Say a mission. Because God will never awaken people just for yourself. God will never release His power just for you. It's never a selfish thing. God will never do that. He awakens you so that you can do something. So He awakens you for others. Now, if awakening does not move us out, it becomes a spiritual comfort zone. Let me say this again. If your encounter with God and the power of God in your life does not push you out unto the world, it creates what we call a comfort zone. And it's not a good space for a Christian to be in a comfort zone. And so Jesus never gathered people just to keep them close. Remember when he was calling them, he says, come, I will make you fishers of men. Already, encounter me so that I can send you back. Oh, I'm preaching to myself. He says that the reason why you need an experience with me is not necessarily just for you, but an encounter and an awakening comes for an assignment. When you read John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says something here, very simple, but it's got a lot of weight. Walk with me, it's very simple. He says, as the Father has sent me, John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so awakening is not our destination. Mission is where we are going. I'm going to say this again. The revival is not the end place, but the awakening is so that we can go. So, the title of my message this morning is Sent Ones, a Church on a Mission. I'm just going to speak briefly on this, because I need us to understand that you are the sent ones of God. Every born again believer has been born again so that you can be sent. And throughout scripture, encounters with God are always followed by assignment. These days we are seeing people experience and encounter God for goosebumps. You are experiencing and encountering God for prophets, for word of knowledge. That's never been the destination. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples. He didn't say stay and enjoy. No, I'm speaking to Christians. He says go and make disciples. He didn't say stay and enjoy my presence. Once there is fire and there is no mission, it breeds frustration. I'll tell you, I've experienced it. Once there is power and no going, we become frustrated and we start gossiping and we start betraying and we start doing all sorts of crazy things that have nothing to do with assignment, because we are not walking in assignment. Awakening matures you, because awakening is supposed to bring you to mission. So God is not just raising prayer warriors. He's not raising just worshippers. He's raising witnesses. He's raising people that will go. When you read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I want you to go there quickly. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? My witnesses. Notice this. Jesus did not say we would be his experts. He says you will be my witnesses, not my experts. A witness is not called to argue the gospel. A witness is not called to argue the scriptures. You are called to testify. The reason God gives you his presence is so that you can make him known. And so mission is not about having the perfect words. Preaching of the gospel is not about eloquence. Hear me now. Witnessing is about being visible in how you live. What do I mean? Your life is the biggest testimony you can have, not your words. How you live your life. Today we've got many believers that are delaying obedience because you are waiting to feel ready. No, let me talk. We've got many believers in church that are waiting to be anointed. Ooh, Lord. Fire. You are still waiting, but you are busy walking in obedience, in disobedience. Because God has not called you to be ready. He's called you to testify. So God will only send people who have willing hearts, not the ones who are perfect. An awakening, what it does is it releases you to walk in the testimony of who God is, not who you are. The problem we have is a gospel that wears manicure. The problem we have is a gospel that wears suit and tie every day, so pretty and made up that we have lost the essence of why He has called us. I was watching when the electricity decided to evade us. Some of us became uncomfortable because our experience of the gathering has got to do with the presence of musical instruments. I'm saying to you today, if we wait until we feel confident, we will never go. You are waiting to become 3 years in the Lord before you can share the testimony of who God is in your life. Or you are waiting for a microphone. You are waiting for an invitation before you can testify of who God is. And I'm saying to you, if we wait until we feel confident, we may never go. Listen to this. God does not send people who are qualified. He qualifies those who go. The ones who are sent. You see, that's why the Bible in the book of Colossians would then remind us, in fact, it is Ephesians, that first chapter, that you are not born or you are not saved by your work. But it is purely the gift of God. Salvation has never been based on what you have done. The essence of it is what He has done. What He has done then qualifies you to testify of who He is. But today we are sitting in our churches. We are seeing less and less and less and less new converts. Because we are seeing more and more and more of Christians living in the comfort zone. Jesus says this when He tells the disciples about the mission. He says in chapter 1, Acts, verse 8, He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is purely showing us that mission and being a missionary and being sent by God begins where you are. No, listen to the verse. He says, He doesn't say you will be my witnesses very far away in far places. He says, right where you are. You will start in Jerusalem. And then this thing, because it is this thing that controls you, it will drive you to Samaria. It will drive you to Judea. And then it will drive you to the ends of the earth. So I need someone today who's sitting on a chair in church to understand that Mbabane is not just a place. Mbabane is a mission field. Mbabane is where, it's not where you work. Mbabane is not where you live. It's not where you attend church. It is exactly what Jesus said. You will start in Jerusalem. Meaning you don't need anything else to testify of who God is in your life. You just need to start. The amens are shabalaling. It is where God has assigned us. The streets that you walk every day, You don't need to prepare a message. The streets you walk every day, the place where you work, the school you go to, the home where you live, the community where you live. Listen, we are not called just to gather. We are not called for Sunday meetings. We are called to serve this city. And how we serve this city is by making sure that Christ is known in this city. That doesn't depend on anything you have done. The problem we've had for a long time is Christians think the success of spreading the gospel depends on what they can do. It's a problem that we have. That's why many of us are sitting down. You will hear people say, no, but I'm not a pastor. No, I'm not an evangelist. No, I'm not called. So I need us to understand that the awakening we are speaking about, it becomes visible when our lives become practical. No, let me say this one again because I think you didn't get it. The revival will begin to break out in Babane when our lives stop being a theory and they become practical. How do we become practical? We start by first going. The day you stop holding the testimony inside of you and start going is the day we would have started to cultivate revival. So we need to shift, Bazalwane. We need to shift from a gospel that tells us that church is a place where we attend. From a gospel that tells us that we come to the church service to receive so that we can feel good. We need to move away from the mentality that tells us that Sunday is a moment of goosebumps and feeling good. But begin to understand that whenever we gather, it is so that the moment we walk out of this door, we carry a testimony that must shift, Mbabane. And I repeat, this testimony does not depend on how powerful you are. It depends on who he is. Can I get an amen? And so I want us, as I come towards the end here, to do a bit of reflection. Your perception of the gathering needs to change. If our perception of the gathering, I mean the Sunday service, if our perception of the Sunday service does not change, nothing will change. When we come into the Sunday service, we need to have a missionary mentality. It must be illegal for you to come to a Sunday service alone. Because that means you don't have impact. It must become illegal for a week to end and your mouth has been shut. You are waiting for Sunday. But the question has to become, why has God placed me in this family, in this city, in this community? You see now, what's changing is your outlook. You are not thinking about you receiving. Because we have twisted the Sunday to become about us receiving. To the point where we have diluted the mission. That's why you don't feel anything when you come. You've been coming to church. You don't feel nothing. Like you feel right that let me go to church and worship God because it's a Sunday, I must go to church. No one is thinking, It's just me, even this week. No one is bothered to say, hey, it's just me. No one is asking themselves, this week, who did I touch? You know why you are not thinking like that? Because you are self-centered. You are in your comfort zone. You believe God is supposed to feed you, and that's the end. There needs to be a change. Someone is asking themselves, Mfundisi, what do you mean? This is what I mean. Let me show you something. When we do evangelism as an event, we nullify the work of salvation. When we wait for a special event to do outreach in evangelism, we've nullified the work that Jesus did. Because when he did that work, he was not doing it as an event. He was doing it as a total shift of man's destiny. We need to become missionaries. And I want to show you today how you become a missionary with just what you have now. And you don't need anything extra. You don't need a course. You don't need to sign up for a discipleship course. You don't need to sign up for Bible school. You are enough. We have been wasting a lot of time waiting. Number one, how do I live a lifestyle of being a missionary? Number one, listen to people. Be a good listener. Wherever God has placed you, just appoint yourself as the listening expert in that place. The reason Jesus was able, the Bible says he was moved by compassion, it's because he would listen. Jesus would be in this room and everyone would be talking, and he would take some time just to listen to everyone. What are you saying? What are you saying? What's happening with you? He would not only listen with the ear, but he would listen emotionally. I'm saying today, child of God, sometimes it's as simple as pausing. You are too busy. Listen to people. I'm telling you, this has shifted the way I do ministry and the way I run my life. Sometimes I go into a shop and I just tell myself, today I just want to listen to these people who are in this shop. That's why, Marie Lamine will tell you, I see different things when I go to different spaces. Because sometimes she's shocked, how did you even pick that up? I am listening. I didn't come to Mbabane to play. I listen. Sometimes it's okay to keep quiet. I know you're an extrovert, but sometimes it's okay to keep quiet and just listen. You will see the deep darkness that infests our people. So, mission looks like just listening. Number two, serving. Serving. I ask myself all the time, why would Jesus be bothered about feeding people? The men, come on. He didn't invite them to come. These people are coming. I mean, come on. What is it that bothers him so much? The disciples are actually saying, there is no more food. Probably there was. There is no more. And they are saying something very logical. It made sense, Tando. Let the people go home. There is food there. Well, we hope. But Jesus says, no, we will feed them. And watch this. Here's a man that doesn't even have a place to sleep. And there you are having excuses for not serving. Every day. When I had to lala kuphi. But you didn't serve anyone. Even when someone wants to cut you in the line, you cut back. I've had moments where God rebuked me. Someone was cutting me. I said, I'm rushing to let me cut. And the Holy Spirit said, my guy, no, just serve this person. That's what serving does. You see, we have a pretty understanding of serving, and it messes us up. Because you want to serve, we want to serve on our terms. I give when I have. Have you ever given your last one? No, I'm not saying donated, given your last one. There's a difference between donation. You see, donation is when you have plenty and you take from the many. The plenty, let me give them another piece because I have another one. We have vungula lapho. But saving, you see that woman that this guy came and asked Jesus, and Jesus said she's given, she's the best giver of all these people. That gave her last one, that old woman. That's what serving looks like. You don't serve because you can. You serve because he can. Number three, you need to learn to love people. No, let me talk to Christians who are born again, washed in the blood, spirit-filled. You need to learn to love people. You see, the problem I have with the love of nowadays, it is circumstantial. We love when we feel like loving. But God is calling us to love, not to debate. Look what kind of trouble it got God in to love us. Very controversial. Because he loved us when we couldn't, when we didn't even want to love him back. But he loved us. The love that confounded even the bishops of the time, the apostles, the kandakandas of the time, were disturbed by this reckless love. It was not, you see, the problem we have today, we have an organized love. It's pretty, it's Valentine. It's got cute roses and teddy bears and it's mush. That's not the one he has called us. The one he has called us to, it gets your hands dirty. It gets people talking about you in the community. It gets people whispering about you and the people they see you with and what. I'm thinking Jesus going to the house of Zacchaeus. I'm thinking the headlines. The man has tortured people. The man has taken from widows. The man has taken from child-headed families, stolen money. And the trending pastor of the time, Jesus himself, says, I'm going to your house. No, not to preach to you. I just want to have supper with you. The headlines. Look at him. He's preaching for the stomach. Look. How do you associate yourself with such people? Reckless love. See, the love he's calling us to is the one that doesn't count. It doesn't count strike one, strike two, strike three. It's the one that continues to love when your emotions are tired. Because it's not emotional. It is the love of God. How do I become a missionary for this? Number one, you listen. Number two, you serve. Number three, you love. Number four, you invite. There is no way that this gospel you carry will influence and impact people if you don't invite people into its experience. Sometimes I Magadla, I mean, forgive me here. Let me preach to you because the church will mess me up. They will do it if they misspeak to you. You, I'm going with you to the house. There's no way. Sometimes I wish we didn't have this personality tests and all these things. It is a part of me. I like it. I'm a coach. I like it. But sometimes I wish we didn't know who's an extrovert, who's an introvert. You didn't know your... You just go. The whole psychology profession, I wish sometimes you just put it aside. Because it messes up your going sometimes. You start analyzing things. This thing is not about analysis. It's about awakening. It's about the revival. So you need to be a person who invites. How do you invite? It's not all the time that you need to invite by having a pamphlet or by having this. Sometimes you invite even by the listening. You would be shocked how many people want to be heard and no one wants to listen to them. Let me give you a practical example. There's this person in your family who everyone has given up on. Even when they talk, everyone is like, yeah. No one listens to them. But maybe you are the one that will listen to the crazy. Because just maybe in the crazy, God will show you something. And then lastly, we become missionaries by praying. And by the way, this is in no particular order. You become a missionary by praying. So, being someone who is sent, it's about the small acts done consistently. It's not about the big crusades we do and the big service on Sunday. You see, on Sunday, you see this today, to encourage us to go. That's all it is. Now, if we are not going, I'm sorry to say this, but I have to say it. If we are not going, then we are disobedient. That's what it is. We are disobedient. Because God has called us to go. How many days into 2026 now? 25. How many times have you seen yourself go? You can count. It's a good start now to check. Me and Tando, we've already started. I'm mentioning Tando because we collaborated. We've got a soul already. We're counting one. He's seated at the back, wearing a cap, a white one. One zero. Zero one. One needs. 25 days into 2026, we've started going. The question is, when will you go? It's in your Bible. Go and make disciples of all nations. Listen, I'm meeting this man once a week, every week. He is new in the faith. I'm sitting with him down. I'm teaching him how to read the Bible. I'm teaching him how to speak. I've done it with many of you even. It's not my job. It's our calling. No, you don't need to be a pastor. I'm not going to suddenly ordain people. No. I started before ordination. In fact, we didn't wait for ordination. My pastor complained. Let me just share this one before I close. So, to encourage someone. Me, the pastor came to complain. He came to Bula the Malangan. I remember one time we were at another high school, me and my three friends, we were preaching. Our pastor comes, he stands at the back, and we can see him doing this with his head because we are hammering the gospel. After church, after the service, he pulls and says, "Boys, now you are doing too much." Because we would not even report in church that we were going to preach somewhere. We just go. We brought in the harvest. But of course, because we're still a lot of immaturity, we bought in also a lot of weeds. But we have the privilege. I'm here. I will help you with the weeds. All you need to go is do is go. Someone is saying, but me, I stay far. I said, you start in Jerusalem to Samaria, to Judea. All those were places that you would find when you move from Jerusalem to Samaria, to Judea, and then to the world. So I'm saying, Bazalwane, today, as we end this series, your altar is strong, or you are still building it. Your worship is starting to shift to obedience. Well, I hope so. Your fire has already been lit. But why all of these things? Why are they happening to you? And I'm saying today, the reason is simple. The reason God is doing all of these things, all of this revelation, it is so that you can go. So that you can go. And there is no campaign that can make you go. There's no crusade. My friends have been arguing with me for some time, my pastor friends, why don't you pitch a tent? Let me share what I don't tell them, share it with you, because my friends are. So I just tell them, I will see, we'll organize. But here's what I don't tell them. There is a sickness that we've begun to breed in the church, where one man will be elevated and be called the one who is fishing. And the whole church is sitting down. We elevate him to the level where he begins to think of himself as a god. Because he's the only one doing it. And then when he's up there, where we have put him, and he starts behaving like he's up there, then we start pointing fingers. I won't allow you to do that to me. Forget it. We will go. You will go. We're going to make it easy. We're going to make it powerful. Because it is. The things of God are easy. Never difficult. It becomes difficult when you choose to disobey. So we will go. The mission is clear this week. The one that we know is the one we are taking into this week. Nothing else. Leles matigo. Leles hamba na ege lelfiki basalwan. Lolo shala nats hamba na ege lelfiki. Lolo ngatsela. Sister uthandaza nyana. Mfuna utithandazele. Nitithandazele ukuthi Nkosi ngisite ngikulalele kuleli viki. Ngulalele kuleli viki. I need everyone praying this moment. I need everyone just focusing on God. We need power this week. We need faith this week. We need power, we need faith. Come on, begin to pray and speak to God. This week, Father, we just pray. Let your presence and your power. Let your presence and your power lead us and guide us. May we be aware. May we notice. May we serve. May we listen. May we invite. May we stay. May we check. May we pause. May we listen. May obedience be the order of our week. May those that have lost hope receive a new hope this week. May those who are sick be healed. May those who are oppressed be delivered. May the gospel of the kingdom of God be preached. May our lives become a testimony.